Ladies and gentlemen, Comedy Roundtable.
These are great questions. God, you're asking a comedian a math question.
Really good question.
Thank you.
Damn it.
This is so much fun, you guys.
Ooh, that is a good question.
And that lightning round was so fun.
That's a really good question.
Comedy fans, conversation enthusiasts, it is a brand new episode of the Comedy Roundtable. Pull up a chair, settle in. We have a great conversation for you this episode.
Let's get this party started.
Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam.
Hey!
Oh, double down! What's up? Look at you getting in on the game. I appreciate that. Usually you're so negative about him giving me the big intro.
I just figured people deserve to hear it in stereo.
I didn't even know that our podcast was available in stereo.
Yeah, it is actually. And actually, if you hit the SAP button, it's available in Spanish.
We have saved a chair for you, our listener, and we've also saved a chair here at the roundtable for our guest this evening.
Kostaki Economopoulos. Kostaki, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's good. It's good to have you.
This place is beautiful. I've never been here.
So we are actually taping live at the Atlanta Comedy Festival. So quick thank you to the Atlanta Comedy Festival. We are reigning champions in the podcast category and hoping to maybe get a two-peat at least. But
Nice.
We'll see what we can do.
And speaking of rain, we have to mention the sponsor of the festival, Rain Pure Mountain Spring Water.
Oh, I'm getting one of these.
They're the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Finally, it's a bottled water company that actually cares about the environment. They have aluminum cans. They keep you nice and cold. You can reuse the can, and it's spring water sourced out of Tigard, Georgia.
And we did not submit ourselves for this year, so I don't know if that was like a passive-aggressive underlying threat to Dominic. I think one of these golden pitchers is enough. I don't want to be greedy.
Well, they are pretty heavy, and we did have two tables that we had to replace from collapsing under the weight.
Yeah, and we had hollowed it out before, but we didn't want Dominic to see that, so we had it welded back together, but we wanted to use it for Oktoberfest.
It's smart. We're actually using it as mules now. We hollow it out and we use it as our mule category. They're just resoldered.
We are recording, Adam. We're recording.
Okay, well then that's not going to work anymore.
Okay. All right, so we're missing Jamie Bendel today. He is off in Vermont biking some sort of thing that's...
Skinny people do.
Yeah, not for us.
Yeah.
Not for us.
No, he's like doing an Everest climb where he climbs the equivalent of Everest going up and down a mountain in New Hampshire like... 6 to 10 times or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here lamenting that the pancake place is closed.
Yeah, we all are.
I knew Jamie when he was an open micer. We were open micers together. I stayed on the comedy course. He, of course, went and became a lawyer and a car salesman and a radio personality and 17 other things.
Legendary podcaster.
Yes, and eventually bought the Punchline, that was the brass ring of the things when I was a kid in comedy.
You talk about the other Jamie.
Yes,
not this Jamie. Right,
No, it's true. You haven't done any of that stuff,
Jamie. My list of accomplishments is much shorter.
Much shorter.
And he actually did know me when I was an open micer, but I also did not go into comedy. That was not voluntary, though. That was more market-driven.
So to all you comics out there, if you're not getting enough mic time, just buy the place.
Yeah.
Just buy the club.
I know. It's kind of the dream for some angry open micers, right?
It worked for Bendel.
Right, right.
He's like, you won't put me on? Well, I'll buy the place. Then you'll put me on. All right. Well, our show's format is we usually do three questions. You're going to pick a question for the first round, and then we'll do a break, and then we'll do a question for the second round. The third question will forever die and never be heard from again.
So we might sneak in a third round.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to give you your three questions.
I get to pick? This is nice.
You do. You get to pick.
So your three categories from which to choose are what's in a name, my apologies, and hold my beer.
So for the first round,
all right,
you don't have to pick two. You can pick one and then leave the last two. Which what do you want to do for the first round?
Let's do beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Excellent.
That's a good choice.
That's what you pick, right?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's hold my beer or hold my rain, refreshing pure mountain spring water.
Yeah, by the way, Rain Spring Water, if you haven't heard about them, they're doing incredible work. It's finally a water company that's environmentally conscious. All right, so go your question, Darren.
All right, hold my beer. So what is the funniest hold my beer moment you've had in your life where you either one-up somebody, stepped in, you were the hero, or experienced an epic fail?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know if this is the funniest, but it is a true story from my life. When I was an undergrad at the University of Georgia, we would tailgate for game days, and we would kudzu dive.
Oh,
are you familiar with this as a concept?
Just for our listeners that are not, kudzu is a weed that has covered half of Georgia. in a very, very deep foliage.
Yeah, that's right.
It's problematic. It's very hard to get rid of. But what is kudzu diving?
Kudzu can grow up to a foot a day in perfect conditions, right? If it's sunny and rainy. I think it was an Asian plant that was brought here to help with erosion, and they thought cows would eat it, and they were wrong about that.
The cows were like, pass.
And it covers trees and takes up all the sun. And anyway, now we're getting off track. There's these big sort of valleys off the sides of roads where kudzu just fills the space.
Yeah.
Right? So we would get drunk and dive off of the hill into like this sort of valley of kudzu.
How did that work out?
Yeah, it's a very thick plant. So how many people were lost?
Or severely injured?
Was it a no man left behind?
It turns out it's a very bad idea, because at the bottom of these valleys, it's not just a pillow cushion of joy and happiness and rainbows. It's broken glass.
Right, and usually cement.
You know, like sawed off stumps. It's a terrible idea. We managed to survive somehow.
But it sounds like you did it multiple times.
Yeah, we did it a few times.
Or at least more than one guy did it.
Right.
You think after the first guy did it, you'd be like, he broke his leg. Yeah, bad idea. No, let's go.
Yeah, don't do that again. No, we're dumb. We did it
go
again.
Dogs. You know, they're like, go dogs.
Go dogs. Indeed.
Yeah, the time that Kostaki and I went to the University of Georgia, the admission requirements were not quite as stringent as they are today.
Touche.
I can tell just by the kudzu diving.
Touche.
Today's UGA grad figures that out. What, three people in?
That is true. Things have changed. That's the scholarship money, right? Everybody stays home now.
Yep.
Everybody stays home. Yep. So my question for Hold My Beer. So you're standing in a field, you're just having a nice picnic with some people you care about. And you suddenly see a horde.
Wait, is this a kudzu field?
No, it's just like a park. I'm envisioning like a park field, like a lawn, if you will. And you suddenly see a
Is it a lawn like the green space here at the Pond City Market, which is hosting the Atlanta Comedy Festival here as the location for
rainwater? It's an environmentally sound. Oh, yeah, come on, we got it. So there's a horde of angry, bloodthirsty third graders. And they're running at you, and it's a large horde. My question for you is, how many of those third graders do you think you can fend off before you're overwhelmed?
Oh, this is hilarious. My brother and I were debating. I have a four-year-old daughter.
You thought about this.
My brother and I were debating, and he goes, how many Zoes could take you? You know, like, how many would it take?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, because you could probably scare, you know, and battle them up. But these are bloodthirsty, so they're not going to stop.
We debated this at length, and I think the key is that they don't have organizational skills so that you can, it's almost like a kung fu movie where you can just hack them one at a time
because
they don't have the skill. They're not like piranha where they know to all eat you at the same time.
Right. But at some point they're going to hold that one kid will get enough and then the others will join in and then you're.
I think it's a big number.
Yeah, really?
Because they've been trained to come in single file line. So
that's the problem with our current educational system.
Right.
Is we're teaching them single file line. Line up, kids. And they're like, well, it doesn't seem to be working. We should all attack at the same time.
One kid is like, we should maybe like go more than one. And everyone's like, shut up,
No, that's
Billy.
Not what Mrs. Johnson says. Yes. Mrs. Johnson says one at a time.
My prior debate was with a four-year-old, which is very different than a third grader. A third grader has a lot more strength.
I think they're about 7, 8 in third grade.
Okay. That's a much bigger kid.
It is.
And they might actually have eked into some organizational skills. They could watch the first 7 or 8 kids being thrown to the side,
or just like,
and then go,
destroyed.
We have to all go at once. They might be able to put that together.
I think Curtis is dead.
The four-year-old would never be able to, as a group, they could never do that. Boy, I still think it's a big number.
Really?
It's got to be.
What do you think?
You could take any number that's less than 30, right?
30?
30.
Right? Whoa, so you're saying at 25 eighth graders, you think you can fend off?
Not eighth graders, third graders.
No, I'm sorry, 8-year-olds.
Eighth graders are a totally different universe.
Yeah, eighth graders, you get killed.
Eighth graders, you could literally take 100 because they'd all be on their phone and they wouldn't be
bothering
you.
Well, that's true. But if they had a meeting, they could figure out we all have to go at once.
Oh my God, that's impressive. I my number's like around 12. I think that I would quickly, once they get control of my limbs, I'm probably over.
Yes, of course.
Like, if you get 2 to a limb, it's probably over.
No, that's true. If they get control of your limbs, it's over. I'm just saying, I don't think they...
They keep coming for a while before they figure out the group.
They're not going to get it together organizationally.
There is a point at which you feel bad about hurting the kids.
But
after a number of them are attacking you, you're like, it's on.
I just love the fact that there's, in my scenario, there's a loved one sitting on the picnic ground going, I think he's going to fight off 30 of them. Like, he's like, he's gotten through 25 of those third graders. Like, I'm impressed. I thought he'd be down at 12 easy, but no, he's still going.
Oh, my goodness. It's a funny premise.
All right, so that's going to do it for this segment of Comedy Roundtable. We are going to be back with more in just a moment.
The Bears have a cool story about where they got their name. When Hal was part of a football team in Chicago in the 20s, they played at Wrigley Field. They figured these guys are bigger than the baseball players. The baseball players were, of course, the Cubs, and that's why they called them the Bears. That's true. Plus, both teams traditionally hibernate during the playoffs. Kids are fun. They're a lot of work, though. A friend of mine calls me and he goes, "Hey, man, would you give up your life for your children?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I fucking did." This is rough. Once in a while you run into somebody who goes, "I can't imagine my life without my kids." That is bullshit. If there was a kid under 5 in your house, you were in a constant state of imagining your life without your kids. I would be asleep right now. I'd be drunk right now. I'd be in my Porsche right now. Whatever. I'd be in the Bahamas.
All right, we're back with our guest, Kostaki Economopoulos.
Like a cheap mop, Economopoulos.
Oh, it's an Economopoulos.
That's how I help MC survive
That's
the
really
weekend
good.
With me.
It's an Economopoulos. Nice.
I worked with a comic named Michael Chiselka, and I called him Michael Chileska a couple times, and he was furious, which is dumb, because who cares?
Right.
People screw up my name all the time.
Someone named Kostaki Economopoulos,
you have a weird
you
name.
You get used to it. You're okay with it.
What are you doing? If you're sticking with it, it's your fault.
Right.
But he told me one night, he goes, "It's like a knight. It's a chess elk." And then I never struggled with it again. And I finally found that version for me. It's a cheap mop, Economopoulos.
Do you ever think that hurts you in a dating position with women? They're like, "I don't want to take that name on." They're like, "I'm a little concerned."
They don't have to anymore.
Okay, so there we go. So thank you, Women's Lib, for actually getting you dates.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because they're no longer required to
they're
take your
last name. They're not committed to long check writing
they're
moments.
They're like, I'll stick yes. with Smith.
No one has checks either.
That's true.
But I will say that Kostaki Premiumopoulos was getting all the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're on to our next two categories. The remaining categories are what is in a name and my apologies.
Well, we were just joking about the name, so I'm curious what the question is.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go name.
Jamie, you want to start?
No.
Okay, then I get to start with let's set the three of us in an 80s detective series, right? So we're talking 80s detective. So there's a cool car, maybe a pickup, maybe some kind of sports car, maybe it's a Trans Am. We also have boats. There's a possibility of robots. But there's three of us, and we run a detective agency. Right. I want to know, what is your cool detective name?
Oh my God. My name?
Yeah, your
not,
name.
Not us as a group. Me personally?
No, not the agency's name. We all know the agency's name.
We do?
Yeah, it's Roundhouse Detective Agency. Or Roundtable.
Jamie, that would be good if I got our name right.
But Roundhouse is even better. Like, it sounds like we know karate, which was big in the 80s.
Better, actually.
Like,
yeah.
Karate on TV shows was huge.
Yeah, we may have to start going by Comedy Roundhouse.
Let's just rebrand the whole thing.
All right.
So for Roundtable or Roundhouse Detective Agency, what is your name?
Oh, my goodness. My name. We each have a name.
Yeah, of course.
What are your names?
I don't want to take your name. I'm worried I'd steal your answer. So I'll let you know after you tell me.
You already picked Greek Sleuth.
Greek Sleuth? It's not a nickname. It's your real name.
Oh, my actual name?
Yeah, your character's name.
Oh.
In our 80s movie.
I thought he was going to go by Kostaki the Mop.
That's not a mob name.
Yeah, but for some reason, Bobby is in my head. Like, Bobby, I like it. We're not doing nicknames. This is my actual name.
No, Bobby's a good start. I think Bobby was a big thing in the 80s.
Right.
Bobby, last name character.
Bobby Big Bones, something like that.
But Bobby Bones.
But that's not a mother given name.
You could have Bobby Big Bones, then last name. What's your last name?
Oh, it's McGee then. Yes.
Oh, Bobby Big Bones McGee.
Yeah, that's for sure it.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's a big boy. Bobby Big Bones, Big Bones McGee.
I think I'm Cody Maverick.
Cody Maverick.
Maverick and Bobby Big Bones McGee. They can solve your cases. And if we can't solve it, we have a third guy named
John.
John, that's really bad.
You just got us canceled.
But it's G-I-A-N, so it's exotic.
Oh, it's like gun? You could spell your name G-U-H-N and just say it's pronounced gun or John. You got Cody Maverick, Big Bones McGee, and John.
John.
So bad.
Big Bones McGee has got to be it.
I don't care how many.
Either 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Or 98.
Exactly.
Yeah, 98, I think 98 is the way we go. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a colorful play because people meet Big Bones.
Yeah.
You're like the Wizard of Oz. You're the name that intimidates, and then you come out and you're like, that's Big Bones? All right. That takes us through the second segment.
Unless you want to give me a chance to ask a question.
I'm not going to give you. You always do this, and we're going to stop the show at two questions, which is what we do.
No. I haven't asked my question.
Oh. Have we talked about our sponsor? We're actually the sponsor of the Atlanta Comedy Festival, which, by the way, we're reigning champions, but we've decided to remove ourselves from eligibility to allow for another wonderful podcast to move in.
Oh, but I wish Tom Brady would do that.
Seriously, right?
But one of the best parts about being at the Atlanta Comedy Festival is that rainwater from Rain Pure Mountain Spring Waters.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. So, Jamie, I will allow your question.
Thank you, Your Honor. All right, who is a famous comedian whose name just does not fit their demeanor, their act, whatever, and what should their name be? This is your chance to rename somebody.
Rename a famous comedian.
Bob Zaney has always tortured me and told me I need to change my name for show business. I'm like, your name's Bob Zaney. Back off, Bob. I'm not taking your advice on anything.
How dare you? Did you change your name, Bob? Because if you did, Bob Zaney was the wrong call.
So if you changed your name, would you change it to what? Pete?
Yeah, I guess you'd want to go catchy and easily fits on the marquee, which is the opposite of been of my life.
Pete Economopoulos.
You want to keep Economopoulos.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My whole life told me to change my name.
No.
And I agree.
Yeah. First of all, do you agree to change your name or agree not to?
No, I agree you don't change the name.
Right.
But part of the goal, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do stand-up, but my goal is to reveal myself on stage. And to begin that process with a name you made up just seems like that's the wrong first step.
You're already in character mode at
that
point.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But maybe one of the bits of advice I've always gotten is just go with the first name, like Prince or Madonna. Just be Kostaki. Just be one name, like Bono.
Kostaki?
I don't know.
That's it. Yeah. That sounds like exotic, cool. That could be like a spy name.
That at least like stays with the premise of me being me without the crazy other name.
I think Kostaki alone is pretty awesome, actually.
All right. All right, so let's go one more round. We got time for one more round.
One more round. So I guess we're not going to retire a question.
No.
All questions live today. Oh.
But first, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we get back, we'll have more with our guest, Big Bones McGee.
All right.
Have you ever received a wrong email? Sure you have. We all have. But did your wrong email lead you on a 2-year quest across England to a psychiatrist in Berlin and ultimately to a funeral? Mine did.
Hello, Frank.
Hell yeah, you dizzy booger.
A few years ago, I accidentally got sucked into the bizarre world of a vengeful one-eyed British curmudgeon on a decades-long mission to get his brother thrown in jail.
And he actually used it like a dagger. He's got away with it so far.
And things got weird.
What they wanted to do was really hurt him. They wanted to give him a good beating.
There's something mysterious about it I want to find out.
Yes, you can fit a square peg into a round hole.
Podcast The Newsletter said it was so riveting that they couldn't stop listening. Check out all 8 episodes at squarepegpodcast.com or search for Square Peg wherever you listen.
The big difference in my kids is allergies, right? The current thing, they expose kids to things sooner, more often, so they're less likely to become allergic to them, right? 10 years ago, we were freaked out. We were keeping kids away from shit. Totally true. We wound up with a toddler 10 years ago, didn't know she was allergic to peanuts. She was going to birthday parties, her mother was freaking out, it was a problem. So one day, it was just me and the kid. Yeah? Yes. This is a forgiveness, not permission situation. We parked so that I could read emergency room out the windshield. And we shared a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the car. And I watched her very closely. And an hour later, I called Mom, we're good. It worked. It totally solved our problem. We never had to worry about it ever again. It worked so well, we went back a month later with a shrimp cocktail and a jar of bees.
right, so I hope you all enjoyed the break. Hopefully you enjoyed our little comedy snippet there, and you will go ahead and check out our guest, Kostaki Economopoulos.
Biggest name in comedy.
The biggest name in comedy. I hope that you're checking him out on YouTube. You got a little taste of what the comedy that he brings on this call. But we're going to go a third question. This is a special event. We're here at the Atlanta Comedy Festival, one of the great events in Atlanta that's supporting comedy across the board. It's great for podcasts, stand-up, films. It does everything, and they do an awesome little award show. It's put together. It's a tight, tight performance, and we love being here.
Can I give you some fun facts about rain?
I think rain's good.
So I wanted to let you know that it is bottled in or by the company in Tiger, Georgia, which sounds like a place I want to go visit.
That's because if you go ahead and listen to the beginning of our episode, I've already told them that.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Tiger. But
this is also the point that I say that I block everything you say out.
They say that ads need repetition to drive in, so good job. Okay. Anyhow, to our third question.
All right, so the category is my apologies. My apologies.
Okay, so my question, and I'm going to jump right in because I know you're excited to say yours, and I'm going to let you wait for a little bit longer. What are you tired of saying sorry for?
Oh, my goodness. That's a big list.
Right? That's the ultimate, like, cancel trap right there.
I'm somewhat recently separated after a 9-year marriage, so, yeah, there's a lot of apologies along the way.
But maybe you're tired of saying sorry for that.
Yeah. I'm tired of apologizing for a mess that wasn't really my fault.
Right. There's two to tango. There's two to tango in any marriage.
I find myself doing that quite often. Yeah.
We usually, when we get to a third segment, it's usually more of a therapy component to it.
Well done.
So if you want to lay down on the chairs there, we can.
And sometimes when you're in a not quite so healthy dynamic, one person apologizes, the other one like celebrates that moment and doesn't own anything on her own part.
Yeah. So you've had dinner with me and my wife. Because it's basically usually an I'm sorry, and it's like, I win! And she stands up and taunts me. She's like, he said he's sorry! She's like, a round of drinks for the whole house. Adam said he's sorry.
Not quite as healthy and dynamic, I'm saying. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Jamie.
All right, so very similar type question, but may open it up for you to blend some more.
All right.
All right, so what is a situation in your life in which you were forced to apologize, but you want to set this record straight here and now? You are not sorry.
It's a similar question to mine.
It is.
Oh, man.
We should have probably prepped this so we don't have the same question for the guys. But, you know, so be it.
I'm trying to think of a more public thing than just like two bickery, you know, middle-aged people in a marriage. It's not as much fun. I've had some public things where I was sort of...
I'm done apologizing for honking. I'm done. I like honking. I'm not going to... I think... Yeah, my people, I think...
Your people?
I think my people are from New York. Because I noticed in a New York hotel room the other night that people honk consistently in New York all the time. And it is almost like a... It's just a rite of passage. It's okay to honk in New York. It's okay to like...
Yes,
bah, 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 and to lay on it.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of like that. I was really? I want to lay on some horn. I want to let people know, you know, hey, don't like what you're doing. Bah, bah. Like, you're really messing me up. You know, get a...
But before you felt this way, who were you apologizing to? Were you chasing people down?
I honestly feel like...
You honked at them?
I honestly feel like every time I honk in the South, it's almost like... Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Or I didn't mean to offend. Or I'm not doing that anymore.
Interesting.
I meant it.
I'm with the Southerners on this one because I grew up here. I lived in New York for 10 years, and I always found it off-putting that people were like honking and screaming out the windows at each other.
No way. Let's have it. Let's just let it out.
It's a defensible position. I hear you.
But thank
you. My guts as a polite Southerner are like,
it's so uncomfortable.
Right. I also hate that they don't say anything to each other in elevators.
Oh, I think the eat shit is not a bad way to talk to each other in an elevator when people say, how are you doing today? And they say, eat shit.
They just don't talk. Their default is nothing.
Right. Just stare at the floor. Stare at the floor and hope this passes. Stare at the floor.
I fly to gigs now, but in the old days, I used to drive from here as far away as North Dakota and back to tell jokes. And there were two ways I knew I was back in the South. One, sweet tea is a choice because it happens gradually, right?
Yes.
So one, sweet tea is a choice at a Burger King or whatever.
Right.
I enjoy that. And two, the guy next to me at the urinal at the gas station will just talk for no reason whatsoever. That's a very Southern thing. Like, the weirdness of a men's room is not enough to keep, you know, how about them dogs, right?
Right.
Our penises are out. We should talk about the weather.
Yeah, let's get
that's
going.
Right. That's a Southern.
See, so while we're there, and I want to keep Jamie from asking his question as long as possible. So the on the sweet tea issue,
And I don't want to apologize really for this either. I think it's too sweet.
Oh.
Like, I'm a half and halfer that says, like, give me the sweet tea it is, and it is the I want half regular,
it's
half
crazy
sweet.
Sweet. Like the default southern sweet tea is,
it is crazy sweet.
Very sweet.
Right? It is basically, you're sucking down a candy cane.
But, you know, you go anywhere else in the country and you have the opposite problem.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's not sweet
at
all.
It's just dirty water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is this?
Yeah, this is gross.
This is a cold tea that's not even a little bit sweet. I think you're right. I think I could go half and half.
Half and half, I think, is a good way to go.
But who drinks sweet tea when you can drink rain, pure mountain spring water?
All right.
Can we just invent a drink? This is like the Arnold Palmer for
Southern. I think we do. You do half sweet tea and half rain.
Half sweet
to
tea.
To dilute it a little
half
bit.
Half Yankee tea.
That's right. I think we just solved the Civil War.
I think we just cured diabetes.
Oh my God. Check, please.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's some stand-up moments where because I'm Southern, I'm super apologetic. And even if there's like a drunken jackass in the audience, I'm sometimes a little harsh and then I feel bad. You know, like I kind of apologize in those moments where I sort of take it back a little bit. And I probably should have a little more New York in me and just like shut the guy down.
As I think about regional apology, right, it is, the South is a very apologetic region.
Right.
But then Canada's a very apologetic region. So then it's like the people in between. There's that window in between Canada and where, I guess, south of the Mason-Dixon, where people are not apologetic.
That is a good insight.
DC is about as low as you get before you start
apologetic.
Hearing apologies.
Yeah, do you think New Yorkers ever accidentally cross the border into Canada and they start apologizing? They're like, we're not in New York anymore. What's going on?
The Buffalo New Yorker, the person that lives so close to Niagara, is more apologetic. But not, there's a line.
They're drinking Labatt's and they say sorry too.
Sorry. Right?
Yeah, they're close to the same universe.
I agree. Anyhow, that does our show. We want to thank the Atlanta Comedy Festival for having us here. We had a great crowd. We appreciate you guys being here. We want to thank our guest, Kostaki Economopoulos.
The biggest name in comedy.
The biggest name in comedy.
We will catch you next time on Comedy Roundtable.
Or Roundhouse.
Thanks, guys.